sir. You do realize this conversation we're having is in your dreams, right?
But I can see you, Doctor. I'm looking around this office. Everything looks the same. Even this couch feels the same. It's just like old times.
Well, your memory is clearly still very much intact. But I assure you this office in real life is pretty much destroyed.
I suppose much of the world is. Of course, everyone blames me. I suppose much of it is my fault, technically speaking. But honestly, all of the world's ailments were destined to bring the whole system of humanity down eventually. I am quite certain of that. And really, I am merely the one who drew the lucky number. Like the winner of the lottery or something. Lottery winners sometimes say such a thing is actually a curse. I definitely think it's been like a curse for me.
But you know, it's as much as everyone else's fault. Look, it's human nature to cast blame of their ills on others. Throughout history, this sort of thing has been widely repeated, time and time again.
I can't even be sure just how much is actually my doing, but I know many things are. Like, for example, I personally ordered the assassination of King Hussein, who was always a loyal partner in my mission. Did he deserve to die the way he did? Probably not. But in my own way, I felt it was a painless, sudden exit from this earth. I spared him any type of suffering.
Did he not deserve to be eliminated, sir? Would him staying in power have been advantageous to you and the mission?
No, it wouldn't have. But it weighs on my conscience. Few deaths make me feel bad. His is certainly one of them.
Well, why don't you bring him in here and talk to him? You are in complete control in this environment.
Okay, if you think it's a good idea. King Hussein, I know you're probably angry at me, but believe me, I had to do what I did.
I've had plenty of time to contemplate this, Asylus. I'm convinced you did what you thought was necessary. And I've tried to put myself in your shoes. In doing so, I'm equally convinced there was a better way to achieve your goals without blowing me up into a million globs of flesh.
This is good. We're making progress now.
It is not my forgiveness you should seek, my old friend. If your conscience is hindering your mind enough to bring me here from the depths of Hades, then the fate of humanity is all but a formality. Perhaps you are right to suggest you did me a favor. I don't think I would want to be on the earth right now, with everything going on as it has. What people are witnessing is far different from what you promised them.
I know it is. I should never have made so many foolish promises. There really can't be any kind of utopia on Earth, at least not without divine governance. People can't create utopia without harsh rules. And as we have seen, the harsher the rules, the more rebellious people tend to be. To the point, they are willing to eat themselves.
So, it's understood, at least from my perspective, that humanity is a cyclical apparatus. It rises. It falls. It grows. It diminishes. It advances. It rescinds. That's one thing I've come to understand, being on the other side. Humanity is prone to running in circles because man's free will is infinite. And the only thing that has no end is a circle. Round and round he goes. Free will is a real thing, Asylus. So is fate and destiny. How can these two contradictory elements exist, you might ask? They exist to ensure the halo of infinity.
New Kingdom Radio Theater.
This episode is brought to you by the J.V. Micah Publishing Company, publishers of the textbook, I Want to Learn English, a textbook specifically designed for Level 1 English learners. Get your copy for the newcomer English learners in your class on Amazon.com today, or click the link in the show notes.
Queen Anna struggled to find the exit of her private meditation quarters. She had summoned the devil in that vain attempt to get him to push Asylus to begin the war sooner. Unfortunately, the devil was not at all pleased to be called for this reason, and as a result, he had blinded the queen. As she staggered out, Lord Oreb saw her feeling along the walls of the tent. He rushed to her side and was horrified to see that the queen had no eyes. In a panic, Oreb veiled the queen's face and hurried her back to the king's quarters. Upon pulling the veil from her head, King Asylus could see Queen Anna's eyes had been completely removed. She no longer had anything where her eyes once were. Just smooth skin. Not even slits.
Mind telling me what the hell happened?
Sir, I found the queen struggling to emerge from her private quarters, and I found her this way. Ugh, what could have done this to her?
My king, I have committed a terrible thing, and now I have no eyes to see.
What did you do?
I summoned Beals. I wanted to ask him a favor, and it angered him tremendously. So much so, he removed my eyes. Why? I don't understand the reason for this.
That was incredibly foolish of you. Why would you even attempt to summon him?
I wanted him to talk some sense into you. Our army is on the brink of starvation. The Angel Army's base is now gone, and we're just sitting out here, waiting to implode on ourselves any day now. Please, will you do something?
This is unbelievable. Tell me exactly what you said.
I asked for his favor. I wanted him to speak with you on our behalf.
If you went to the devil in search of favor or some kind of wisdom, then surely you were blind before you ever uttered the words to summon him. What did he tell you?
He said to follow you.
And?
and to beg for your forgiveness.
I see.
Will you please forgive me, my king?
Oh, I do forgive you, my queen.
Thank you. But I still cannot see.
If your heart is true, and you mean what you say, you will see once again, my queen. But it has to be authentic.
But I do mean it.
Why have you decided to make us invisible to the human army, my lord?
They do not see us because they choose not to see us. As you know, we have not moved an inch.
But how can we make them see?
Ultimately, it is what resides in a person's heart that takes in the world at large. The heart, you see, is the one eye within every entity that can see and understand all things. When the heart is confused, vision is blurred, and anyone can become confused. And by confused, I mean one can be manipulated.
You have shown everyone the way, through your teachings and sacrifice. And still, they refuse to let you into their hearts.
It is this very fact, you say, that has blinded mankind to the Evil One, and this has allowed them to be manipulated. But explaining this to humankind throughout the ages has done little to steer them for their ultimate trajectory. And thus, we all find ourselves here, at the precipice of judgment.
Will you be merciful, my lord?
True believers will enjoy a great paradise on earth, Archangel. For the rest, oblivion awaits them.
The Alpha Omega spoke to his angel army and told them to stand facing the human and demon army. He insisted they would not be able to see them, even if they stood out in the open and looked straight at their base. Without faith, he said, no one can see the greatness or beauty of God's creations. Instead, they would only see organic materials, rocks, and empty space. Therefore, they had absolutely nothing to fear from King Osiris or his army. For they were blind and would never know where to aim their guns. Back at Osiris' base, Lord Oreb asked Esther to pull up their infrared radar. He noticed some unusual activity in the area once occupied by the Angel Army. Oreb rushed to tell the king to look at the infrared radar.
Sir, there is still a lot of activity in that area. Should we send a team in to investigate it?
Interesting. You know, I'm willing to bet they never actually fled the area, Jeremy. We just can't see them.
Do you think they've cloaked themselves? They must possess some serious technology to pull something like that off.
It isn't technology, I assure you. They have the ability to slip through dimensions. That's probably why we can't see them.
If they are there, as you say, then we should march right up to them and engage them, sir.
If we go there, we would be surrounded. It's a trap, no doubt about it. We have to be very careful when we advance.
I don't understand. If they can slip in and out of dimensions, why not slip into one, march over here, slip back out when we're all asleep, and just take us out?
Because that's not how it is written, my brother. Don't you get it? Everything we ever do on this Earth is another step in the Grand Halo of Infinity.
A Grand Halo Infinity? What does that even mean?
This, coming from one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Now, how's that for irony? Jeremy, humanity itself, as a construct, is cyclical. What we do in ebbs and flows, ups and downs, and rounds, you know, that whole circle of life crap people like to say. That's the basic crux of it. We are doing what we are meant to do. Just like you were meant to be the Black Horseman.
Look, I just played along with all that horseman stuff because I knew it was necessary. But right now, out here, it's all about survival.
And tell me, Jeremy, let's suppose we defeat the Alpha Omega. What do you think the Creator would do to us?
He'd probably leave us alone. After all, we have defeated his army of supernatural soldiers.
You're a riot, Jeremy. You think God himself would just dismiss us altogether if we defeated his army of angels? Now that has got to be the wildest, insane thing anyone has ever said in the history of mankind.
I say this because I don't want to die, sir.
I know you don't. And that's probably because you don't want to be judged for all the things you've done in this life. So, you'd rather fight against all odds to avoid it.
Don't you feel that way, sir?
No, I don't. I am fine with facing judgment. I know I've done terrible things. I've hurt people. Hell, I've killed people. And I did so many disgusting things in my life, I shudder to think of them, honestly. But even with all that, I am at peace, knowing the Creator will do with me what must be done. I think it's high time we all make our peace.
Thank you.
baby has opened my eyes to something incredible, Monica. Life is so incredibly precious and fragile.
The world has always found it hard to accept that every breath in our lungs is a gift. Self-awareness is crucial for true happiness. How can we ever aspire to know what true happiness is if we aren't even aware of who we really are? In this life, in this universe, in the lives of those we love and that love us?
I love you, Monica. With all my heart. And this baby, too.
Jacob. I really am so sorry for everything that I've done. We had it all. I had everything I could have ever dreamed of. And I threw it all away. For what? For some stupid delusion, the intoxicating notion of power.
Okay. You can say these things you have to say. But then after that, no more regrets, okay? Let's not waste a second with each other or this child. This little guy. Let us not subject him to the negativity that's so pervasive in this world. Let him only know that his mother and his father love him just as he is.
Oh, isn't he precious? He's the most precious thing I've ever laid my eyes on.
Let's make a pact, you and I, right here and right now. Whatever we do from here until the pinnacle of the war, we do to protect our son. Let him have the opportunities we never could, for a chance to live a good life in a new world. And let's promise to each other that we'll sacrifice ourselves if need be for little Asylus.
Yes. I swear I will do just that. Until my very last breath.
Until our last breath.
I can't see anything. What am I going to do?
You can't wish your eyesight back, my love. You can only accept that things are the way they are meant to be.
Why am I meant to be blind?
You only became blind when you sought out the deceiver of mankind. The only one that can ever shine light on the darkness is the Creator. We have betrayed him. And now we must meet our fate.
I am truly sorry for doubting you, Asylus. All you've ever done is love me. And all I've ever done is bring chaos to your life. You even had to kill Rebecca just to be with me.
Yes, but even that was an idea put in my head by Beals. Everything we're doing here is because of him. And even though in my heart I know it's wrong, I still have to see this thing to the very end.
Hold me. I love you. In spite of feeling I don't deserve any love. I'm happy you love me.
And I love you forever, no matter what.
Oh my God! I can see again! How did you do that, Asylus?
Understand that everything good and beautiful in this world is provided by the love of the Creator. I'm happy you can see again.
Oh my God! I can see! I can see! This is so fantastic!
And now that you can see with your eyes again, can you also see with your heart?
I think I can. It's warm and sweet.
Come Come here. Lay down here with me. Just know, every second from here to our final moment, I am happy because you are my queen. I love you forever and ever.
I'm the luckiest woman in the world. Married to the king of the world. It's something to marvel at. What's that? What's happening?
It's Esther. Why is that damn machine summoning me?
Don't get up. Esther can wait. I'm not letting anybody else interfere with us.
Oh? Right now?
Oh, yes. Right now.
You've been listening to The Rise of King Asylus, Episode 87, Spiritual Catharsis, starring J.V. Torres as King Asylus, Shane Maester as Queen Anna, Steve Fisher as Lord Jeremy Oreb, L.A. Bonet as Princess Monica, Dominic Notaro as Prince Jacob, Bob Singer as the Alpha Omega, Jeff Ellis as Dr. Ezekiel, Mark Rios as King Hussein, Skylar Torres as the Archangel, and narrated by Sergei Brezhnikov. This episode features the song Brash Aim by JVMP. Download the music of JVMP on Bandcamp.com today. Or click the link in the show notes. For more information about the cast, the music, or this production, please visit us at www.theriseofkingasylus.com for a full list on our Season 6 episode page. This has been a production of the New Kingdom Radio Theater in Baltimore, Maryland. Copyright 2023. And stay tuned for Episode 88.